Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 15. John 15. There are several places in the book of John where Jesus points out that he is the I Am, meaning he is equal with God, of the I Am that was revealed to Moses in Exodus. And Jesus is no less than God. He is God. He's the Son of God, yes, and the Son of Man. Son of Man referring to his deity, Son of God referring to humanity, or his deity, Son of Man, humanity. And so when Jesus came to this earth, he came as a man, and he was born of the Virgin Mary. We've been through the Christmas thing, we know that. But he is Emmanuel, God with us. And so he has ascended back into the Father's presence. And if you want a picture of him after his resurrected glory, you read Revelation chapter 1, you'll find a picture of the resurrected, exalted Christ after his work on the cross and his resurrection. And he has the authority to give eternal life to whosoever will. Thank God for that. But let's notice John chapter 15. And Jesus is represented here as the vine. And he says, I am the vine. Praise God. And so I want to talk to you about being connected to the vine. The vine being Jesus. John 15, 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in the vine, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Father, thank you, Lord, for the word today, the scriptures that speak to us, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord, that your word is never irrelevant, but it's always relevant to the day and today, and will always be relevant. Thank you, Lord, for scripture. Bless the anointing, God. I pray the anointing rest upon all of us today to hear, to receive what you have for us, God. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So I want to talk to you about being connected to the vine, of course, being Christ. This life takes more than you and I can produce ourselves. We must have Christ, and we must be attached to Christ, the vine, in order to be one of the branches that bears fruit for God's kingdom. And we do not have the strength to live the Christian life. We don't have what it takes on our own. We must have divine help. And God never created humanity to be alone. God created humanity to have relationship with him. And so if we're not connected to God, we really don't know what living is all about. And unless we're connected to Christ, the vine, there is no life, because all life comes from the vine, which is Christ. And we look at we therefore look at people and wonder, you know, what made great things happen in the church world? And I can tell you, it is the prayer is probably the most neglected thing. It may be a lot talked about, but it's a neglected thing in the church world today. And many churches are dead today because they're not connected to the vine, Christ. But however, any and all great works of God began at an altar of prayer, people pouring their heart out before God. Look at the world that we live in. We live in a world of hurting people. We live in a world that is torn apart by sin and evil. We know that. All we have to do is listen to the news once, and you'll find out that people need God's help. Relationships are torn apart when there is nothing to hold them together. I want to tell you, friend, God can hold a marriage together. God can hold families together. As a matter of fact, anything that's held together is held together by him. Praise the Lord. All God-ordained relationships need more than mankind can produce, because mankind can't produce the relationship that God intended. And we can only have our relationship with God and our personal relationship with God as we continue to draw strength from Him, the vine. Glory to God. And so people in local lands, people in foreign lands need God. And they need more than you and I can produce. Personally, we need God. We need to be connected. They need to be connected to Christ, the vine. First of all, let's see that Jesus is the vine. Verse 5 of our reading there, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." There's a difference in the vine and the branches here, obviously. And there's the word abide is used 4, 5, 6 times here. To stay, to be attached to abide in Christ, that's where you and I have to be. I have a friend, he named his church Abiding Life, Assembly of God. And God revealed this great truth there to him. It's not a hard truth, but it's a real truth. Praise the Lord. And so Christ contains all that is needed to face life's problems, life's hurts, life's sorrows, pains, betrayals, tragedies, sudden unexpected news we don't want to hear. You know, there's things that I just don't want to hear that happened. Amen. Not that I want to deny reality, but I wish things hadn't have happened sometimes. I hate the light. I hate the phone call that says you're somebody close to you has just been in a car accident and they're no longer here. They died. We don't want to hear that sudden news. But probably if I ask for a raise of hands, and I'm not, but something tragic or something unexpected has happened in your life that you didn't feel like you could deal with yourself. And so you called on God. If you had God at that time, you called on Him. Amen. God, I need your help right now. Please, Lord, help me. I can tell you that if you're attached to the vine will give life to you and help to you who are the branch. Praise God. And so Jesus was fully human, yet fully God at the same time. He suffered all things as a human suffers. The Bible says, you know, the word Christ became us. In Hebrews 7:26, He became such an high priest, became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And so Jesus became fully us in His humanity, and He suffered all things that humans suffer. He did not have a sinful nature. He was not born in sinful nature. God was His Father, and so therefore His precious blood was sinless blood that could atone for sin. But not just on the cross did Jesus have it hard, but in everyday life, He suffered everything that you and I suffer. He had all the feelings that you have. He had all the emotions that you have. There's times when Jesus was sorrowful. There's times when Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, when He saw what death did to His creation, the human race. And so there's people that need help today. And Jesus suffered all those things. But in everyday life as well, He saw and knew what each day offered to sinful mankind. I want to tell you, Jesus has been where you are. He's never sinned. No, I'm sure He decided to go places that you went and didn't think anything about. But He contacted people that sadly many times the people wouldn't bother with those kind of people. But let me tell you, Jesus didn't come to save just pretty people. Or He wouldn't have saved me. He came to save that was lost. It's not God's will that any perish eternally, but all come to repentance. That's God's will. That's God's plan. Regardless of color, race, nation, or tongue, Jesus came for all people. He showed divine love that's beyond the love that we know about in human nature. And He stands in authority today as a resurrected Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. As the one mediator between God and man, we can call out to Him, and we do not need an earthly priest to take our sins to God. He is our high priest, and He takes all that we have unto God. Therefore, He is the only priest there really is. And so, He stands in authority over all things, even authority over death. And Jesus said, before He left this world, He says, "All authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth." So we know that Jesus showed His authority over every disease, every sickness, every infirmity, every problem that mankind ever had things that led to death and even death itself, Jesus showed authority over all those things. And so he knows what he's doing. Amen. If you take your car to the body shop, you want somebody to know what they're doing, working on it. Amen. If you've got a bent fender, you don't want them to sand down the radiator. I guess you can. But God has been where we are. He knows us. He's walked where you walked. He's felt the same things that you feel. He's experienced all of humanity that can be experienced. And he has experienced the absolute evil and sinfulness of mankind. He never sinned, but he was crucified in the most horrible means of execution ever created by sinful man. And so Jesus knows what he's doing. Amen. And so you need to be attached to the one who knows what he's doing. And as we come to this month of prayer and fasting, I want us to get attached to the vine stronger than we've ever been. Closer to God than we've ever been as a church. We cannot go forward. We cannot do anything. This building that stands here cannot solve people's problems. Good chairs. And I thank God for all the blessings he's given unto us. But I want to tell you something. It takes God to work on the inside. It takes God to change your heart. It takes God to give you strength to pick up and go forward. The Bible still says those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or not give up. My friend, we got to keep on with this thing. We started this race. God intended for us to finish it. Praise the Lord. We're going to. But with the authority of Christ, as we stay hooked up, attached to Christ, the vine, then you and I as a branch can grow and bear fruit for his kingdom. And so all that we need has been given. It's amazing. As I read the Old Testament and New, I find that justification by faith, you know, it was seen greatly fulfilled in Christ. But even Abraham before that saw justification. The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was accounted, credited to his account as righteousness. Praise the Lord. But as I read through the Old Testament, and I do a lot of times, and I old and new, amen. And I read through there, then Jesus told them, or not Jesus, but God the Father in heaven told the children of Israel, he said, you're going to go into the land, to Canaan's land. You're going to live in houses that you didn't build. You're going to be a recipient of vineyards that you didn't plant. Amen. You're going to go to cities that you didn't build. You're going to go in and take the property of enemies that doesn't belong to you. You didn't get by yourself. You're going to take out people and nations bigger than you, but you're going to have me to fight for you. So God told them that. Basically, he was telling them, everything you inherit in Canaan is not what you earn, it's what I gave you. And when it comes to salvation by grace through faith, our eternal hope, our eternal inheritance in heaven, our walk by faith here, it comes from God. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. God gave it. We're saved by the righteousness of Christ. God gave us his righteousness when we received him as our Savior. Everything we have has been given. And so there is no room to boast. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of Jesus Christ, to whom I am crucified and the world and I. Amen. Paul said that. I'm not Paul, but I said it anyway. And so all that we have has been given. Because you see, to live and to walk with God and to be what we need to be in this life, we must have more than I or you can produce. Let me give you an example here. We no longer have to go to the ends of the earth to find a mission field. The United States has become one of the greatest mission fields in the world. Every nationality, every custom, every culture of people has moved here. And the Muslim community is going to be reached here. And we think of Muslims, we think of jihadists. Not all of them are jihadists. Many of them are just simple people with families and kids and want to do right. But there's a few that you can just influence a whole bunch and make everybody look evil. There's people that think Americans are evil. Some of them are. But let me tell you something. Islam is not the way to God, and I don't care how religious they are, it won't get them to heaven. It's wrong, because it is a salvation produced by works, and evil. We have missionaries coming next month. Matthew and Fariba Salar. They are converted Muslims that abandon the life of Islam. You're going to hear some things. They were tortured for their faith in an Iranian prison. And they have been called to the United States of America to reach the strong Muslim population that's gathering here in the United States. You think we don't need to reach them? Jesus died for them, just like he died for me and you. He shed his blood. He poured out his soul into death for everyone. I'm glad that God didn't have any favorites. Amen. I do not in any way take the Muslim religion or Islam. It's wrong. It's very sinful. It's inspired of not of God, but of evil. But yet, so is all other religion. And religion is simply man's search for God, but the truth comes in personal relationship with Christ, which we can't have. Praise the Lord. But we know that Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. So therefore, to face life, we have to have strength coming from the vine, which is Christ, deeply rooted, feeds the vine, if you think of it in the natural sense of plants. But you and I need Christ because he's the vine and we're the branches. We're a branch that just won't just fall off and die someday if we're not connected to the vine. But we see here the gift of endurance for life's difficulties. Jesus endured things. And I'm thankful for the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And it's all the faith chapter where people did all the kinds of things by faith. And God had blessed them, encouraged them, strengthened them in the faith. Some of them bore hard things and did difficult things. But at the end of that, in chapter 12, and there were no chapters and verses in the original Bible. I'm glad they put them in about the 15th century. It was earlier than that, I think. I just can't remember back that far. But Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, since also we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, and the great cloud of witnesses is not some angelic thing that's going to happen in the future. The great cloud of witnesses is the Hebrews, is the heroes of faith in the 11th chapter. Seeing that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so the gift of endurance has to come from God. You can endure only as God gives you endurance. I want to tell you, the vine, Christ, endured and came forth victorious. And he could say today, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Have the keys of hell and of death. He said, I can decide where you spend eternity. Or actually, you and I can decide where we spend eternity by what we do with Jesus Christ. But I want to be in submission to the one who has the authority over death, hell, and the grave. The one who has the power to lift us up and to encourage us and strengthen us. And God's not up there looking for an opportunity to kick you out and to knock you off somewhere, because he has all of that if he wants it. Amen. But he looked over the up. He sought the place where he could extend grace to you and I and say, I want you to come. I want you to be saved. I want you to be born again. I want you to end up in heaven with me. I want you to spend eternity with me. That's a love beyond explanation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is the vine. And we know that anything good has to come from God. Every good and perfect gift, James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. So every good gift comes from God, and God's not going to change his mind. He's not going to turn around and say, oh, I'm just tired of fooling with those people. I'm tired of fooling with you. I've helped you through this 10 times. Number 11, you're out. No. With whom there is no variation, no shadow of turning, God didn't and does not stop loving you and wanting you to be with him forever. People stop following God to their own choice that they made themselves. How can we reject the grace that God has extended to humanity. Amen. And so everything is given. The vine, it comes from the vine, it comes from Christ. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes from Christ. Not only salvation, but the gift of the Holy Spirit comes from Christ. Amen. God, when he went away, or Jesus, when he went away, he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Perfect picture of the Trinity right there. Jesus praying to the Father, and the Holy Spirit coming. And so we have the Holy Spirit here with us today. Amen. We don't have as much of the Holy Spirit as we need. Not only do we need to be born again of the Spirit, but we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, I'll tell you something. You don't get more of the Holy Spirit, but he sure gets more of you when you're filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we can have God, and we can have God, the Holy Spirit, working within us. In Romans 8:26, likewise also the Spirit helps our weaknesses. One arrogant fellow said, I don't have any. Oh, yeah, you do. We need God. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever run out of words just to explain or to say anything one time? Yeah. And so we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we can pray. And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And I'm thankful that we can pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so you say, well, I've heard people say, well, the devil can't understand you if you're praying in the Spirit because they don't know that language. You know, the devil knows every language on earth. He can tempt anybody in every language. But we don't know what we're saying when we speak in tongues. Amen. Unless God gives you an interpretation. But we know when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying according to the will of God, because it's the Holy Spirit in us making intercession for us according to the will of God. You know you're praying in the will of God if you're praying in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And so it's good to pray in the Spirit. Amen. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit, pray with understanding. He even said, I'll sing in the Spirit and sing with understanding. I don't sing in tongues because I'm not a good singer to start with, but maybe that would help. I don't But it is scriptural to do that if God moves upon you to do such. And so we need God's Holy Spirit. Man, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. And we need power. God's power. We face things we can't do ourselves. We need God's power. And the Holy Spirit is more than just power to witness or power to send people to the ends of the earth, you know. But God gives you power to stand against the wiles of the devil. He gives you power not to cuss when you want to. Don't tell me you never wanted to. He gives you power to say no when you don't have the ability to say no. When sin comes your way and the Holy Spirit prompts your heart, say, you don't need to be there. You don't need to do that. You need to turn from that. That's the power of the Holy Spirit as well. It's not just power to speak in tongues. It's a power that God gives us to help us along life's journey. He has not left us alone. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. Better, I will not leave you orphans without help. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me move on. Christ is the vine, we are the branches. A branch cannot produce fruit by itself. It grows because it's connected to the vine in the root system. And so we've got to be connected to Christ, the vine. I remember years ago, Sister Norman worked with a woman at the bank. Yeah, that's where he worked. She didn't know I'm going to tell this. But this is like, it's not about her. But she worked with a lady in the bank that... This lady in the bank, she was very, didn't get along with her teenage daughter. You'll find out why. Because after Christmas, she would take her Christmas tree, still beautiful and still green, and plant it in the front yard. The artificial one. And her school friends would drive by, and that would be a laughing stock, you know. Look, her mother stuck a dead tree in the front yard. But it didn't accomplish anything because it had no root system. It could not grow. And I don't know the end of that story, but anyway, because it was not connected to anything. And you and I cannot grow spiritually unless we're connected to the vine. We want to grow spiritually. We want to be planted in Christ and grow in grace and knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. In the church, you and I, we're not the vine, but we're a branch. Amen. We're a branch that reaches out to help this one, to help that one, because we're connected to the vine and God has given us something to help people with. God has given us a word of encouragement for a neighbor. God has given us a prayer to pray for the lost. God has given us a prayer and a help to pray for somebody in need. Amen. God, through the vine, helps us not to be so selfish and so self-centered, but we begin to care about other people and other people's needs. Amen. What will God require of the American church that's had so much? Amen. Praise the Lord. I can find no other church except in the church of the book of Acts. I can find no other way the church spoke to it. It was a praying church. They prayed, they fasted. I see no other powerful, living, enduring church other than the one connected to the vine in prayer. Amen. When hard times came along, they didn't look for some secular way to deal with life's problems. They began to be persecuted at one place because they spoke the name of Jesus, and they were in Jerusalem there. And so they got together and prayed because they were being persecuted for naming the name of Christ. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. And so God, they gained strength there from their relationship with Christ to go forward in the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver this message to peoples everywhere. And so we need God. Praise the Lord. If we're connected to the vine, it will produce when we're connected to life. There's many, a number of I ams about Christ in the scripture. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 14:6. John 11:25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's got power over death. Hallelujah. We're connected to life with him. And Jesus is all about life. He's the resurrection of life. He said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the vine, you're the branches. Life comes from God. Jesus is about life. Heaven is about eternal life. It's about a book of life. It's about a tree of life. It's about a river of life. It's about life itself. That's what heaven is about. And that's what Jesus is about. Glory to God. We're the branches. We as the branches, we must have a vision for Christ, from Christ. Our vision for the lost, it can't come from Hollywood, God forbid. It can't come from the carnal man. Our vision for a world and people being saved cannot come from the latest fad. It has to come from Christ. Can't come from Oprah. Last time I checked, it couldn't come from there. Dr. Phil claims to be a Christian. I hope he is. But it's got to take Christ. If he's a Christian, he has to have Christ. And you and I have to have Christ because we have to have the vine or our branch will be dead. Can you and I heal the brokenhearted? Can we deliver the captives? Can we give sight to the blind? No. But we're connected to one who can. We pray for people and call upon the name of Jesus. I want to tell you something. It's not us. It's Christ that's doing it. We don't take credit for it. God does. And so we give all the glory to God. We can't solve everybody's problem, but I can tell you something. God can. And he is the answer. He's not sort of an answer. He's not one of many answers. He's the only answer there is for this world. Hallelujah. And so we want to be connected to him. People are connected today about many things. Amen. Connected to the internet. Connected to social media. Connected to Facebook. Connected to YouTube. But are we connected to the vine? Amen. This past week, thank you for letting me go. Went to Acts 6:4 conference. It was a wonderful time. Sam and Christy were there. Wonderful, wasn't it? There was one guy that preached. I don't know how he survived. I mean, I've never seen somebody flooded with the Spirit of God so strongly. I thought he was going to pass out. It wasn't a show. It was a real McCoy. It was a real thing. Amen. But I learned earlier, just on the way to that conference, Creston Tomlin, who's ministered here several times, been a while, his mother has had a crooked foot. I mean, not just a little crooked, 90-degree angle, turned out. Prayed for it for years, many times. But on her way to the conference, suddenly it just straightened out right there in the car. You talk about somebody being on fire. She was. Praise the Lord. That's what God can do. There's no other way it could have been done. To be connected to the vine. Praise the Lord. And so, last of all, let's talk about abiding in Christ here. Verse 7 of our text. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And it doesn't say every carnal thing you think of will be done if you'll just abide. Let me tell you something. If you're really abiding in Christ, the carnal's got to go. Amen. And the spiritual's got to be there. And so God, Jesus is talking here about abiding, having a relationship, an ongoing relationship with Christ, with himself. Praise the Lord. And we see it several times here. Verse 7, verse 9, verse 10, abide, abide, abide. He's saying, stay close to me. And we need to stay close to Christ, the world that we live in. We can only survive and go forward if we're abiding in the vine and we're receiving strength from Christ to do this and to go on. Man. Last of all, what if we don't abide in the vine? This may be a controversy. It is to many people who believe once saved, always saved. And I believe once, always saved. I believe once saved, always saved. If you always live for God, I have to think you have to worry about losing your salvation, afraid it's going to fall off somewhere. If you make the decision and determination to turn away from God, you will be lost. But if you make the decision to keep following Jesus and to continue to follow him, not going to quit. I started this race to win. You're secure as you live for God and walk with God. But verse 6 says here that if anyone does not abide in me, in other words, we disconnect from the vine, which is Christ. He is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. What could be more plain than that? You've got to abide and stay with the vine, or there's nothing else but death out there. And that's not a threat to anybody. That is a warning of Scripture from Jesus. I didn't write those words. Jesus did. He said that. And so we want to stay connected to him. Dead branches, those who disconnect from Christ, are judged for rejecting the only one who can save. Amen. Let's just say that you're on a ship and somehow or another you fall off. You say, well, I would never get on that ship. It's a good idea. But if you weren't, and somebody throws out the lifeline to you and say, oh, I don't want that, you'll just drown. I want to tell you, in some sense we can look at this, that Jesus threw out the lifeline to you and I who were drowning in sin. And by faith we took hold and he pulled us to safety. Don't ever abandon the ship. You may fall while on board, but don't ever fall overboard after you've been saved. If you sin, repent and stay with Jesus. Stay with the vine. Glory to God. And the branches are gathered up and burned. However, the branches connected to the vine continue to grow, produce fruit that gives life to others. And you just, let's take it here. By the fruit of the Spirit, you know, fruit of the Spirit's really not for us. You know, the apple tree doesn't need an apple. It's us that pick the fruit off of it that need that. So the fruit is benefit for others. Yes, it's beneficial to us, but it helps others see what God can do in a person. Love, joy, and peace. Love those things. Praise the Lord. That's what we want. It's what we're going to have forever. You name the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. I want to tell you something. There is eternal love, eternal joy, eternal peace with God. That's what heaven partly will be. Praise the Lord. Because that's fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, so that's fruit. Amen.